In the middle of the coronavirus surge, planning has begun to reopen the economy in Massachusetts and elsewhere. But there's a new warning this morning that it must be done carefully. It's in a new study from economists, technology, public health experts, and ethicists at Harvard's Edmund J. Safra Center on Ethics. With us now to discuss the findings is the center's director, Danielle Allen. She joins us via Skype. Good morning, and thanks for speaking with WBUR's Morning Edition.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
So your roadmap to pandemic resilience centers on the need to greatly scale up testing for coronavirus. Why is that essential?
The goal here is to reopen and stay open. So what we are offering is a pathway to possibility for doing that. In that regard, our report is less of a warning, really, than a way of showing people how it can be done. We can actually reopen and stay open. What we need to do is much bigger than most people realize. We need to massively scale up testing, contact tracing, and supported isolation.
You're calling for 5 million tests a day at a minimum.
Correct, yes, by June. We need to start by stabilizing the essential workforce. Most people don't realize that in this period of collective stay-at-home orders, 40% of people are still going to work. They have to go to work. They're working in healthcare, they're police, they're fire. Currently, that workforce is fully exposed to the virus. They're really not getting routine testing and things like that. And so they're both themselves exposed and they're also themselves spreading the disease. We know that there's a very high percentage of asymptomatic carriers. 20 to 40% of people who have the virus don't actually have symptoms of it. The good news is that tests actually can catch that case when you have the virus, but you're asymptomatic. And so in the ideal, the first thing we really need to do is just make sure that the entire essential workforce is really getting routine testing so that if people are COVID positive, they can get treatment and or isolation with supports. They can be replaced during the time that they're out by other people who are trained to skill into the healthcare industry, for example. And just doing that in the first instance requires getting us to 2 million tests a day.
But we're nowhere near that. 2 million tests a day or 5 million tests a day by early June, according to your report. So is that possible?
There are two pathways to achieving that. There is the existing testing infrastructure, which does have the capacity to scale up if it's actually proactively coordinated. That existing capacity could get us to about 2 million tests a day. In addition, though, there's an innovation pathway. You can simplify the testing process and that way then have the capacity to scale up to tens of millions of tests a day. The most important thing we need for that are saliva-based tests. And the good news is the FDA just approved the first one last week. But once you have a saliva-based test, you no longer need PPE to administer the test because a person can just do it for themselves, spitting into a test tube. You also can put something called a viral deactivator in that test tube. And then the sample that has to go to the lab is no longer a biohazard. And then it becomes much easier to transport millions of samples around the country every day.
All right. You recommend a gradual return to economic activity, a slow rollout. What do you mean?
So phased rather than slow is what we focus on. I mean, we want to see the economy open as soon as anybody else does. We all desperately need to have the economy fully mobilized. But what we think really is important is that you be able to stabilize sectors of the workforce that make sense from a point of view of overall social need as that testing supply comes online. So the first thing you do is stabilize that essential healthcare workforce, that essential public safety workforce, and the people they interact with, people who are in nursing homes, homeless and unhoused people, housing insecure people, incarcerated populations, things like that. And that is already a huge chunk of disease control once we can stabilize the essential workforce of people with whom they routinely interact. And then the testing supply will continue to be ramping up. And so then you can bring in the next round of mid and longer term essential workforce individuals. So people, for example, who are in maintenance, people who are in construction, a broader range of childcare workers who are also providing childcare to all the people in the sort of first essential workforce and now also in the second essential workforce. The third phase is that you then bring in people who can't telecommute. So as the next level of testing ramps up, as you have more tests available, you give people who can't telecommute the chance to take tests and know that they're negative, be able to circulate in the workplace. And then the very last people who should be phased into this are people like myself and perhaps yourself, people who can telecommute without productivity shocks. So at the end of the day, when the testing supply is big enough, hopefully by the end of July, then those of us who can telecommute will also be able to return to our workplaces, get back to sort of pretty, not exactly business as normal, but the new normal where we all can move freely about because we can have safety confidence that the people around us know that they're not COVID positive. We could have confidence that people who are COVID positive are getting treatment or are in isolation with support so that they don't have to violate, say, isolation just in order to go earn enough to keep their family together. So that's the goal, is to make sure that we can all have trust in our world again and know what the risks are and be able to move around the world understanding how to mitigate the risks appropriately.
So, Danielle, what you're saying is we're going to need to be patient.
No, in the sense that if we can open and stay open, our economy will come back a lot faster. The problem with the path we're on right now is that we're going to open and then we're going to close again and open and close. And no business can plan in that kind of context. That actually would require more patience. We would endure economic dislocation for longer. We are talking about a much swifter pathway to remobilization of the economy.
Danielle Allen, director of the Saffer Center for Ethics at Harvard, thanks very much for speaking to Morning Edition.
Thank you very much, Bob. I appreciate it.